and welcome to Relay, the Team GB podcast supported by GoDaddy. And what a day today is. Today, the moment that this podcast was released, is the day that the opening ceremony will start in Japan. It's here. It's finally arrived. The Olympic Games. And this is the official Team GB podcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome on board. I'm Vernon Kay, and I'm joined by comedian Rhys James.
Hello.
And Nicola Adams.
Hey.
Oh, it's just a hey today, Rhys.
I'm sorry.
Just because we're there, we've arrived at the opening ceremony, Nicola, doesn't mean you can drop your nickname.
All right.
So which one are you going to choose today? We've had the lioness. We've had a two-time Olympic gold champion.
The baby-faced assassin.
Oh, what? Where's that come from? Crikey. Yeah. All right, well, let's start again. Hi, everyone. I'm Vernon Kay. Welcome to Relay. I'm joined by comedian Rhys James.
The lioness.
And Nicola Adams.
The baby-faced assassin.
Oh, welcome on board. We finally arrived. This is it. It's opening ceremony. Day. So you will have had this podcast drop into your inbox, and today is the day that the opening ceremony will start and the official Olympic Games in Tokyo will be open and we will be up and running. So Nicola, opening ceremony.
This is the exciting bit. This is where you have fun. It's just spectacular to be involved in that. You have your opening ceremony costume on and you're just ready to go. And you know that this is the start. This is the beginning of my dream.
And then you've got to switch off and then get into focus mode. I guess it's a pre-party, you would call it.
Is it a party? So I know your athletes and everyone's training and on very strict diets and stuff. Is anyone, are people having a drink at the opening ceremony?
No.
Not even just a glass of champagne?
Not normally, because the competition after the opening ceremony, the next day competitions start for a lot of the sports. So it's okay. Like...
let's say you're a skateboarder... You're not competing for a week. Come on, you're having a couple of points.
I mean, you could do. I'm not saying that they don't, they might. But I think if you're trying to be very professional and you're focused on winning, that'll be at the back of your mind.
I always find opening ceremonies a little bit weird because they're steeped in the culture of the horse country. And sometimes, not through ignorance, but we just don't know what that culture is and the stories behind the little stories that are told in the stadium. But also there's someone going, let's just have 1,000 inflatable balloons of all kinds of different shapes and sizes with a laser show, lots of smoke, and let's just design the most crazy Salvador Dali-esque costumes that you could ever... They're always a bit weird. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's why London 2012 was so well celebrated, because we knew what was happening.
You've got to be looking forward to Tokyo's one, because they're always at the forefront of this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
About lasers and stuff.
Yeah.
But imagine what's going to be going on at this opening ceremony, which by the time you're listening to this, you might have already seen. And maybe they went the opposite way. Maybe they're so ahead of us, they've gone completely tame and it's very quiet and chilled. I mean, I'm expecting it to be like... technologically insane.
Yeah, and there's got to be sumo wrestlers. There's got to be a little bit of Mario Kart, surely. Pokemon. Mount Fuji, I guess, will be significant as well. And food. All that kind of stuff, I would imagine, is going to be thrown in there. I can't wait for this opening ceremony.
It's going to be epic.
It really is. It really is.
And we might actually understand some of the references more than we do with some other places because of the international impact of Japanese culture that we've perhaps embraced more than other host nations in the past, is that we have a lot of Japanese culture here that people get really into it over here. So maybe we are going to get it. I'm just talking Pokemon, to be honest.
So let's meet our very special guest, ladies and gentlemen, men's hockey player Sam Ward, everyone.
Hey.
Hi, Sam.
Hello, how are you? We're well?
Yeah, we're very good, thank you. And we're excited to have you with us because your story is something else. You made your debut for England in 2014. You won a bronze medal at the Hockey World League semi-finals in 2015. 2016, competed for Team GB at the 2016 Olympics. 2017, you won a gold medal at the Sultan Asian Shah Cup. Have I said that right?
I think it's Aslan, but Aslan. We're not far off.
Yeah, there you go. 2018 Commonwealth Games, highest score, 9 goals across the whole tournament. Amazing. Then 2019 was the accident, which we'll come to in just a second. And then 2021, just 19 months after your accident, you've been selected to play for Team GB as a forward. Sam, how did your love for hockey come about? Because, you know, hockey is one of those sports where you kind of think, oh, hockey, not going to play that because it's lunatics with sticks. so how did you manage to get into it and then hone your skills and realise you were bloody good at it?
Well, I would have to say it's been an up and down journey in love for hockey, really. My mum and dad met playing hockey, and then basically I took it up because they play. I have actually now checked and they did meet playing hockey in mixed team. So I told the story for years and then now it's actually true. So that's a start. And then, yeah, basically ever from 4 or 5, I've always played hockey, but fell in and out of love with it a lot.
We find that with a lot of professional sports people. Like, Nicola, did you ever fall out of love with boxing? Was there a period of time we thought, oh, forget this, hang up the gloves?
Yeah, you do. You just lose interest and then you come back to it and then you lose it and then you come back, yeah.
Reese, you ever had the same thing where you dropped a couple of gags and you're like, oh, forget this?
Yep, every night of the week.
No one finds me funny, I'm out of it.
Yeah. Oh, all the time.
Oh, have you seen him, Sam? When?
familiar with my repertoire, I see.
Sam, we're talking to you. You're at the moment, you're in a golf simulator. Is that something that the lads have wanted installed at the hockey training facility, or is that just where you were when we rang you?
I'm actually at home. It's in one of the front rooms.
Yourself. You've got a golf simulator at home.
It's like the sensor and receiver that picks everything up, and you can actually project kind of the course onto the screen, which is the big screen behind. We can hit everything but a driver, but I have really freakishly long arms, and let's be honest, it's a bit dangerous. The roof, yeah, it's still there, just
enough room to swing a golf club. That's how they'll market it, the estate agents, if you ever move.
Yeah.
Does golf help with hockey?
I'll probably say no. I mean, the different length golf clubs, I don't think. And then you go back to training the next day and be like, why is this one length stick feel really weird? And you're like, I've been using this for the last 20 years. And now all of a sudden you're going, feels very strange. Yeah, too much golf can probably have a bit of effect negatively on the hockey, I'd say.
Yeah, have you ever gone into hockey the next day and been like, just hit that 300 yards?
Sometimes I was like, I should have took the 3-iron, not the pitching wedge when shooting the goal.
All right, well, you're a forward. For those people who aren't aware of hockey and what it takes to be a professional hockey player, let's align it with football, right? Because it's very similar. You have a line of defence, you have some midfielders, and then you have a striker, and you're a striker. Are you a Gary Lineker type poacher, where you just hover around the goalmouth, or are you the kind of striker who takes it from the midfield and then just drives forward, a little bit like Vernon Kay at St Joseph's High School in 1990?
I mean, I could lie, but I'm not going to. I'm definitely the Gary Lineker. I tap it in from 2 yards. I reckon all my career goals have probably got a combined of 54 yards. if you asked anyone, they'd be like, yeah, you don't see many flair wonder goals, really. I got myself in this mess because I was standing in a silly place and trying to tap it in from 2 yards. So, yeah.
Oh, well, seamlessly, Sam, you've taken us into the accident. Now, the accident that you endured, made the headlines, and we're looking at some pictures now, and it looks pretty horrific. And I don't want you to recall the event, so I will recall the event for you because I know very little of it. So basically, you were hit in the eye socket by a hockey ball. And anyone who's got kids, anyone who's played hockey, will know that a hockey ball is just a tad lighter than a cricket corky. That's how heavy they are. It's a heavy ball, right, Sam?
Yeah, pretty firm, let's say.
Yeah, and you took one for the team, pretty much, straight in the eye socket, and it fractured your eye socket. Just explain to us the actual damage that occurred when you were hit with the ball.
Yeah, so it struck me basically here, sheared off the side of my eye socket, which crushed kind of my eyeball into the side of my nose here. So broke here, down here, up my cheekbone. I think there was about 7 or 8 fractures in total. It was in a bit of a mess, I'd describe it as. I didn't have much facial structure, and somehow they've put me together to look like this. So I think I'm doing all right, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look fantastic. Considering you've got 4 plates in your face, is that right? 4 titanium players?
Yeah, so I've got one down here, which basically repaired the sheared eye socket. I've got 2 across here in the cheekbone, and then I've got 1 like inside the top of the inside eye, basically.
Do you go off at an airport?
Unfortunately, everyone asks this. Apparently, it doesn't set titanium off, but it's upsetting, isn't it?
Oh, mate.
And didn't you try and carry on playing when this happened?
Yeah, I did make a little comment. I actually got taken inside, which was a bit weird. I could not see at all out of my left eye at this point. The performance director had just said to me, Sam, like, we just need to get you sorted. Don't look in the mirror. As you do, like a child, I'm going to have a look. And you just look, and there's this, like, swellings everywhere, as you can imagine. But there's just, like, this giant dent, like, hockey ball shaped dent in your head. I looked at him and I was like, we need to qualify. Like, can I get back out there? And he just laughed at me and he's like, Sam, I think we just need to get you fixed. And I was like, okay, if I have to.
Nicola, you were saying we had an off-air conversation as we were discussing the injuries because we've got a couple of photographs in front of us. But Nicola, you were saying that pain is usually covered over by adrenaline.
Yeah, it is. You don't feel anything when the adrenaline's pumping. It's not until a few hours after and then you start to feel the aches and pains. It's really weird.
Listen, I don't want to try and contribute here where I'm not welcome, but last week I did a tour show after a stag do. So look, we've all been through and I had to do a double tour show because it's socially distanced at the moment. And let me tell you, adrenaline carries you through the first hour. Then you have that break. That second hour, absolute no man's land.
And the puddle of sweat you were in as well was more of an issue.
Yeah, exactly. And the promoter said, don't look in the mirror. I said, look, I'm going to look. Oh, God, get me in hospital.
But, Sam, is that what happened to you? Was it a case of the adrenaline kicking in? You didn't feel much pain. And then once you realised that, actually, I'm not in good shape here, I better go to hospital.
Yeah, well, there was a few moments. So, first of all, when I originally got hit, I dropped to the ground. And I tried to stand back up and literally, I don't know how quick the physio and doctor on the pitch, unbelievable. They'd obviously been training with Usain Bolt. They were incredibly quick. They were already pushing me back down. And I was like, get me off the pitch as quick as possible. My mum and dad are in the crowd, basically. Anyway, we're walking off, but there's blood. I only needed two tiny stitches. It was fine. But there was blood, obviously, because of the location flying everywhere. Mm. And they're like, put pressure on the side of your head to obviously stop the bleeding with like some form of like gauze or something. Obviously, I didn't realise I'd sheared my eye socket. So I'm basically like pushing as hard as I can to stop the bleeding while also kind of semi-yelping, being like, oh, what's going on? And that was the only bit that actually really hurt. After that, I was whisked away. It was just like a weird tingly feeling. And then obviously I got into the ambulance and I was kind of then supported, let's say, to make sure the pain was managed as well as possible.
How did your teammates react when it happened? Was it obvious that it was this serious at the time, or did it just seem like a sort of, you know, been hit with the ball standard kind of thing?
Yeah, I think that was it. It was actually a bit weird, I think, because I stood up and wanted to get off quickly. You probably didn't know the extent, and nobody knew, really, if I'm completely honest. I basically got out there. I got into the ambulance about 10 minutes later. I literally got to give my mum and dad, who they'd managed to get round, to give me a hug. And I was like, you head off back home, and I'll go to hospital and I'll speak to you in a bit, basically.
What was the recovery like?
So I was in hospital that night and I had to have lots of checks, ironically enough, to check that I didn't need emergency surgery that night to make sure that I didn't lose my eye, which I didn't at that point because the pressure wasn't too bad. We just didn't know the extent of the injuries kind of thing. And then I basically got sent home the next day and I sat at home for 9 days, basically waiting for the swelling to go down. And then I went in and had the surgery, which obviously looks a lot worse than it was.
So hang on, Sam. You sat for 10 days with a caved in face waiting for the swelling to go down before they could open you up and rebuild you.
That is basically what happened. Yeah, you're sent on your way, need the swelling so they can do the operation to the best of their ability and not have the fluid in the way. So, yeah, basically, went home, chilled out at home. One of my mates took me for a drink on the Friday, just for a soft drink it was, actually. And there was a bouncer on the door and he didn't want to let me in. He was like, what have you been doing? Where have you been fighting? I was like, I've been hit by a hockey ball. And he's like, okay, go in, kind of thing. So quite funny, but it's really weird how people react to things like that.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, our reaction when we saw the photographs of the operation, we were like, oh my goodness me, because what they did was they cut you from ear to ear over the top and then literally peeled back your face, put in the plates and reconstructed the eye socket, made sure that the eye was workable, and then peeled your face back and stitched it back together, right?
Yep, like stitched and stapled it back together.
Wow, that is incredible.
I mean, that's science really, isn't it? That is medical science at its best. If you can peel someone's face off, put some tin plates in, and then rebuild their face and then put it back and then say, all right, son, back down to spoons, get involved. You know what I mean? 10 days later.
There's got to be a bit of that surgeon that's thinking, I might put someone else's face on for a laugh.
Here's a spare one I have from before. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'll take that.
Sam, we're so proud of the fact that you've got that fighting spirit and it wasn't long before you were back on the hockey field, was it?
No, so I think in total it was about 5 or 6 months. So I managed to get back to club hockey. I think it was in the end of March in 2020. I'd just come back, played one game, and then obviously COVID kicked in, basically. So, yeah.
Your sighting is impaired in the left eye, right? You're partially blind, or are you fully blind in that eye?
So I'm like, I've lost full central vision.
Right, okay.
So basically, like, reading, writing, or anything wouldn't be of any use in that eye, but I still have a bit of periphery, so I can't see, obviously, the laptop, whatever, but out here, I can vaguely see my moving hand.
I mean, I doff my cap. I mean, the fact that you're still playing at international level hockey is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at now. You're moments away from attending an Olympic Games in Tokyo, and after everything you've been through, you must be proud as punch.
Yeah, definitely. I think, obviously, Rio wasn't great for us either as a men's hockey squad. So there's a lot of feelings and things to go and put right. And yeah, if you went to the last one with 2 hours, might as well go to this one with 1.5, eh? Yeah.
Was there ever a moment, you're so resilient, was there ever a moment where you thought that you might not play again?
Yeah, basically, we work very hard. I have a very good psychologist, Katie, and we work very closely together around the fact that basically anything was a bonus, and we'd kind of put to bed. And I think, obviously, you saw a lot of specialists and everything, and they were kind of saying, it's not necessarily your left eye that's the problem. It's how important and how protected the right eye is, and kind of how much this is, like, yeah, worth the world. Like, without that, everything's pretty in trouble for you. So, yeah, I think that was more so, there was a combination of that. And then, obviously, I'm not going to lie, obviously, you've had good hand-eye coordination your whole life. And I actually went on a holiday to Cape Town the Christmas after it done, on my own, but a couple of friends were out there watching cricket, and one of my best mates was there with his family, and he threw me a water bottle, and this was the first real, like, realization of it. And I went to catch it, and my hands weren't in the same postcode. This bottle just hits me square in the chest, and he looked at me and I looked at him, and I was like, wow, that's not great. And I just obviously had lost all depth perception. Yeah. And I just had no control over anything like that. And that was the bit that really took some, yeah, just basically learning to catch, see, yeah, visualize, yeah, things again.
What kind of training techniques did they give you to get your hand and eye coordination back so you could be able to play hockey again?
I did a lot of basically app-based stuff. So there's a few specialists out there I've actually worked with two different ones. Yeah, a lot of app-based decision-making and kind of eye tracking, and that kind of, there's loads of different games almost. It was semi-fun, actually. And you used to do it every day, and it just kind of adapted the eyes to kind of focus in again on things. And then basically went from that to doing more practical, like a catching, and then back to trapping balls, and then kind of aligned with that while back at training. Yeah, you've got to, like, track certain balls in, like, 3D environments and stuff. So pretty cool. But, yeah, it's took a lot of hard work, but it's all part of the fun, isn't it?
You know, we've had many athletes on, and what this podcast has done, it's highlighted various sports, and it's highlighted the people that are competing for Team GB at the Olympics. And I think what we'll do now is, as soon as you take it to the field, Sam, you're the guy that we're going to be looking for. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can't miss me in that mask.
There you go. Reece and I were saying that you look like Rudiger for Chelsea, because it's the same style of mask, isn't it? It's kind of semi-Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, definitely. It's a bit bigger, I think, mine is.
Just wear an American football helmet.
Yeah, I think it's not to protect me. That would be, everyone else would be in a lot of trouble the way I play hockey.
Do you ever feel a bit cool in the mask, or is it just annoying?
No, it's very annoying, let's be honest. Yeah, it's fantastic, and it's 3D printed and, like, moulded your face perfectly, and it's got every bit of vision you can see, giving you peripheral by still protecting you. But let's be honest, the heat, it keeps eating.
Yeah, what a nightmare. And we talked about the physical rehab. What about the mental rehab? I guess it's PTSD, right?
Yeah, so basically early on I struggled quite heavily, because if you can imagine someone's telling you that your right eye is like your world now, and you've got to do everything to protect it. I actually had quite a few night terrors, which were a bit weird, but it was like people throwing darts at my right eye, and obviously that's the protected one, and these, so there was quite a bit of that to kind of get through early on. Obviously early doors, the noise of a hockey ball was a bit weird, because obviously the last time you'd heard this ball, which sounded like it hit your stick, which hadn't, it hit the side of your head, was obviously, yeah, a bit weird.
Wow.
Have you considered, so I watched Harry Kane when he was playing in a mask once, right? He was playing against Arsenal, and then he scored an amazing goal, and then he ran off and he ripped off the mask in celebration and threw it to the ground. And I was there screaming, Kane, the mask is off, like a 90s WWE commentator. Have you considered a celebration involving the mask for when you inevitably score?
I have, but I've got to tell you the truth. Getting that mask on and off takes a lot longer than you realise. I'd run over and you'd be like, 2 minutes later, the game's going on behind you and there's me still trying to unstrap it and move it. And you'd be like, come on, Sam.
Let's talk about the actual games itself. We've had kit day. We know that because we've had several athletes on who've already been to kit day. Did you fill your bag of stuff that you know for a fact you're not going to need?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. We love light fingers on Team GB.
I mean, first of all, the kit means everything. Like, yeah. I absolutely love kit for a start, so that helps. And it's the best. I always describe it as the best day of the year, best day of 4 years, really.
You're not the first athlete we've had on this podcast to say that.
You turn up, you get given a load of freebies. What more could you want? It's amazing. I think the one thing for me, especially this time, is the journey myself has been pretty different. So obviously it's got to carries a bit more meaning as well, I think. But on top of that, I think after everything that's gone on in the world over the last 18 months as well, and taking perspective from that, it'd actually be really nice for us to go out there. It's the one time I feel like, no matter who you are, everyone watches the Olympics. They're like, oh my, the Olympics are on. I'm going to watch it. And you all become a specialist in a random event you don't even understand. And then you're shouting at the TV about, why didn't they punch them there or do this? And you're like, you don't know what you're on about, but you're now a specialist in it. And I think hopefully it's going to unite the whole country and kind of get people on track again.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you do just become an expert in stuff you don't understand, but I do actually have some notes on your hockey play, if you don't mind. I just think there's some few imprints. No, I'm joking.
He's written a critique, Sam. That's what
Smack
it is.
Smack it in the goal, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Wow, you've read my pre-brief.
Sorry, I didn't mean to leak the tactics to any other nations listening.
Yeah.
We're in trouble.
Exactly.
Speaking of the other nations, right, who are the best teams? Who are you worried about? Who are your rivals? You've got South Africa's the first game, is that right? And then you've also got Canada and Germany in the group?
Yeah, so we've got South Africa, Canada, Germany, Holland and Belgium. Belgium are current world champs and got silver medal at Rio. Australia, currently the number one ranked side in the world. They're in the other group. So, yeah, we've got a pretty tough group, let's be honest. But you want to come through that and hopefully avoid the Australians and see what happens.
Is hockey the kind of game where you watch other teams on analysis software and you can check their techniques and you check their formations and where they stand during the equivalent of a free kick, let's say?
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. I like just playing hockey. I'm very Midland. I turn up. I want to play hockey, and that's it. So we got obviously a very good tactical coach in Danny Kerry, who won gold with the girls in Rio, and he's now over with us. And they do a lot of homework. There's certain bits, like me as a set piece specialist. I'm a drag flicker, so I will watch.
Whoa, easy, brother. You know we can't have phrases like drag flicker go amiss on the podcast.
Yeah, what is that?
Let's just have a rewind on that one. Never mind a relay. So let's spin it back. What's a drag flicker, buddy?
Okay, so let's say it's not a penalty. It's not a long corner. It's kind of like a in between. Like it's a seven attackers on four defenders and the goalie. Right. And they basically run out and try and block you. And we have to inject the ball from like a short corner position, which is not a long corner. Hard to explain. To the top of the circle, it's trapped by a trapper, as we call them. And then basically, if you were to hit the ball at goal, you have to hit it in the back border below. If you flick it or push it, it can go in the net as well. So you have basically like a specialist drag flicker. We've got a few of them. And yeah, you come in and you try and rip it in the goal.
What about penalties? How does that work?
So it's quite interesting, actually, because hockey is probably one of the only sports that has two different form of kind of penalty in a way. So in the main play, you have a 7 yard kind of, you have to push or flick it at goal, which is literally slam it as hard as you can in that way and beat the goalie in the nicest way. But they've taken a shootout to a different level, which is kind of like ice hockey. And you have 8 seconds starting on the 25 yard line to get into the D, beat the goalie and score. And it's the same as a penalty shootout with five each. But it goes to sudden death after that. So that's kind of created an overall shootout excitement.
Didn't our girls win on penalties in 2016? Was it 2016? Yeah, it would be 2016 in Rio.
Yeah, they did, yeah. They beat Holland on shootout.
Are there any verbals when you're playing? Are you trying to get in anyone's head at all? Are you saying anything? other than to your own team? Are you trying to, are you like, you know, psyching them out?
Yeah, there's obviously, there's a lot of interesting conversations, let's say, and people know that certain people get rattled quite easily, and there's always that bit of kind of, fight slash nibble out there that creates a bit more atmosphere, let's say.
It's become quite apparent that our athletes love a little bit of smack talk. You know, we sport to the sailors and those girls were giving it to the other nations. And it's the same with hockey as well. And I would imagine that, you know, Chev and the boxers will do the same.
Exactly, you've mentioned the same. It. I feel like some of the hockey players and the sailors have made good boxers. All the trash talking, you know, they just go at it. Don't give up. I'm injured, but I'm still going to get back up and keep fighting. Hey.
There's moments probably watching me play hockey, I look like I'm in the wrong sport. So, yeah.
Sam, tell us about there's something that you picked up on kind of to relieve boredom with the isolation games. It's gone from strength to strength, really, hasn't it? Just talk us to that.
Yeah, as you probably noticed, I don't take myself, my life or anything too seriously. And I think I did originally, came in like a wrecking ball on a skateboard head first through about 10 Easter eggs. And I posted it as a bit of a joke and people kind of liked it. So the next thing I thought I'll take, I think it was to the luge, down three sets of stairs head first on top of a GB bag. And that went down really well. And it kind of just escalated, picked up momentum. And then we ended up going from strength to strength and then linking it in with obviously Team GB and the British Red Cross to raise money as much as we could as well.
Nice. Well, because of your success with the isolation games and the way that it escalated and became a thing, we're going to ask you to compete against Reese, if you don't mind. And I do believe that you have got some chocolate balls and your chopsticks in front of you, right?
I have got my chocolate balls and here are my chopsticks.
Your chopsticks have been verified by our official Swedish judges and they are actual chopsticks. They're not magnetic and your chocolate balls are actually edible chocolate balls. And Reese, we've done the same for you. Now, the object of the game is very, very simple. I mean, this is going to get commissioned on ITV without a doubt.
You need another game show on your list, don't you?
Thank you very much, Sam. You're right. Hey, I've got a conservatory that needs building. We've got a cup full of chocolate balls. We've got some chopsticks and we're going to give you 30 seconds. The person with the most chocolate balls...
Get my eye in. That's called stretching. That's warming up.
And did you see he had a little dig there? He's getting his eye in.
Yeah, let's the puns. Come on.
Yeah, a little bit of fighting talk.
Bear in mind, I'm a drag flicker in this game.
Yeah.
I don't actually have a second cup, so I'm just going straight in the mouth.
Oh, that's my guy.
Wow. Straight in the mouth.
That's my guy. Wow, that's my guy. You see,
it's more like a bush tucker trial, I think.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Reese is actually training because at the moment we're trying to get Reese to take up a sport which could potentially get him into the Olympics in 3 or 4 years' time, maybe 5 years' time. You never know how far this blooming pandemic's going to go. So he won't be putting them in his mouth because he's now an athlete.
I'm watching the figure, yeah.
Have you tried me without me knowing?
Yeah. So you've got 30 seconds. The person with the most chocolate balls in their cup or Sam in your mouth after 30 seconds will be victorious. Are you ready?
I am.
Your time starts now. Oh, Sam, straight in there. Good chopstick technique.
Oh,
Sam's roughing them down.
Yeah.
Sam's obviously on cheat day, look. Even though he's an international athlete, he's obviously...
How many is
throwing down. You've had 10 seconds gone. 10 seconds gone. Come on, Sam.
Let's go.
You have to squeeze. There's no prodding with your chopsticks. You can't... 20 seconds gone. You got 10 seconds left.
He's got the added incentive of chocolate in his mouth.
Exactly.
Sam's
five,
flying.
Four, three, two, one. Time's up. Easy, James.
I getting absolutely battered there? Yeah. I didn't look up. I didn't look up once. I was focused. But, right. You know, I can tell from the commentary that I wasn't doing well.
I can't count because I've eaten them.
that old chestnut, is it? I had 40 more than that.
That's what he's going to say after the Olympics. I scored 5 goals. I didn't see the rest.
I'll leave it.
So, Sam, we think that you got 9 or 10.
I'll go 9, you know.
All right, he's going 9.
So I'll do an official count.
Yeah, let's do an official count.
Yeah, put it straight in your mouth and eat.
One, two.
I can't count if I've got the mouthful. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7...
Eight! Yes, sir! There you go!
God, so close.
Right, you're listening to Relay, supported by GoDaddy, the company that empowers everyday entrepreneurs and is the official domain name, website builder and web hosting partner of Team GB. You were a car salesman in a previous life, Sam, is that right?
Yeah, I was in a car dealership from 18 to 23, and actually I never played junior international or anything. So I actually got picked when I was actually just about to give up hockey and just basically become a fully fledged car salesman probably, and just carry on with life. And it was literally 2 weeks in between that I got a trial for England and ended up where I am now.
And I think that stood you in good stead, because, you know, going from car salesman to Olympian, it must make you feel even more proud about representing Team GB. What exactly does it mean to you, Sam?
Yeah, I think, as you can tell, I'm not often lost for words. And this is something it is, I can't really describe. It's just an incredible feeling to be part of and get to wear the Team GB jersey again. Yeah, I'm just incredibly proud. And if it's one thing from me, it's repaying everyone now for every bit of support and everything they've done for me. So especially my parents are a massive part of my life, but also growing up, they drove me here, there and everywhere for me to be here now. Just being able to repay them and do them proud as possible is massive to me. And then obviously go out there and represent your country and Olympic level is one of those things that I'm just incredibly proud of.
Nice. Just a quick one, actually. So what a story. Car salesman to hockey to face being removed and stitched back on because of an injury into the Olympics. Who do you want to play you in the movie of your life?
I think you could do it. You're quite funny.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I've been looking for work. Yeah. I've been tarting myself out on this podcast looking for work. I was trying to get in the Olympics.
It was a game show. Vernon was up.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I mean, what a salesman. You've sold us.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sam. When you come back, when we do the reunion podcast, because we're going to get everyone together and we'll recap and we'll talk to all the athletes that we talked to in the build-up, and then we'll talk to them afterwards when they get back. You'll have to come and teach Reese the old slap and tickle, whatever it was called.
Yeah. Don't teach me that, mate.
The drag flick. Yeah. You have to teach him the drag flick.
When I drop that in the next interview, I'm in trouble, I think.
In all seriousness, Sam, we wish you and the rest of the team all the very, very best. All the hard work, all the effort has to come to fruition. And let's just hope that you can bring home gold. And if not gold, any medal will do to top up that Team GB medal tally. So good luck, pal. You're one of those people that we're really looking out for, because your story is just immense. So we want to leave you with a sonnet, a poem, some words of encouragement that we've put together. Reese and Nicola are going to read it. Who's going to go first?
Me.
All right, so Nicola's going to go first. So Sam, this is for you.
The GoDaddy Motivation Station.
Sam Ward, Olympian, your time has now come to compete in the land of the famed rising sun. Not only the sun will ascend in our eyes, in Olympic men's hockey, a hero will rise.
To play this sport well takes the rarest of breeds. Dexterity, bravery, power you need. Your Team GB's spearhead and ace in attack. The nation's so lucky you've fought your way back.
Horrifically injured, your vision impaired. Your return to the team, brave beyond compare. From what you've been through, your desire to play saying everything. Nothing will stand in your way.
In Rio, our women's team conquered the world. Now it's time for the boys to go follow the girls. Our men were the champions in Seoul 88. Let Tokyo gold be your glorious fate.
Back home we'll be glued to the TV screens. Gripped by your story, it warrants a Hollywood script. A medal will be a deserved reward for the king of comeback, the mighty Sam Ward.
Yeah, boom! There you go!
Thank you.
Sam, what we're going to do, we're going to do for you the same as we've done with all our athletes, is we're going to get that printed up and in a nice frame, and we'll send it to you and hopefully you'll get it when you come back. But thank you very much. Good luck with everything and give them hell, my friend.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. It's been great.
And listeners, if you've been inspired by listening to our athletes, and how could you not be listening to that story of absolute heroic comeback and a car salesman? I mean, it's the most inspirational story I've ever heard in my life. Well, if you have been inspired, then here's your chance to get involved in an Olympic sport, just like I'm trying to. So a festival of sport is coming your way on the 14th and 15th of August, with free events taking place across the UK, including, of course, at the Olympic Park in London. You can register your interest at iamteamgb.com, and you may even get the chance to meet one of our Olympic athletes. That's iamteamgb.com for more details.
Yeah, amazing. Imagine that, because I think it's that period of time where we all all get hyped up by the Olympics, and you've experienced it, Nicola, but the chance to meet our Team GB heroes at an event would be mega.
Yeah, unreal. You know, you always see all the athletes on TV, but then to actually meet them in person, it must be awesome.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, we know how excited you got when you met LeBron James.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for this episode of Relay. Reese, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nicola?
Thank you.
Yeah, pleasure as always. Thanks for listening. And if you're enjoying this series, you know what to do. Give Relay a follow wherever you get your podcasts, and you can get a new episode as soon as it's recorded. Now, don't forget to follow Team GB on social media, because all the action at the games will be there. And also, from today, you can download the new Team GB app created for the Tokyo Olympics. That way, you'll get all the notifications and you'll find out what Team GB are up to, the medal tally as it goes up, no doubt. Plus, the best videos, interviews, quizzes, and competitions from the game. It's all available now across all devices. Now, the next time we speak, we'll be joined by our athletes in Japan. Relay is a Team GB podcast supported by GoDaddy and produced by TBI Media. So for now, let the games begin, and sayonara.